Hello, everyone. Let me know you can hear me. As you can see, I'm not Corinne. Corinne is in Vegas this weekend and is having a real hard time getting an internet signal. So I am coaching today for her. And okay, Nina, I see you on here. I'm also looking for Jennifer Farnham. Maybe that's you, Jennifer. That's just the Jennifer. Okay, so I'm going to get y'all on here. And I've got your what you wanted to get coached on, Nina and Jennifer. So we'll start with y'all and then we'll see where we go. How's that sound? Thank y'all. Yes, I have been on vacation for a week. So I'm back to work today. So I'm just hitting the ground running with coaching and all kinds of stuff. So, and Nina, I know you want to talk about getting track on vacation so we can work on this together. So here we go. Cause I'm right with you. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. I think we are in the same boat.
Yeah. Oh, did you go on vacation recently too?
I did. I just got back from a week at the beach. So yeah. So tell me kind of what's going on with you.
Well, so I actually had originally wanted to talk about that, but then I had an incident happen yesterday.
Okay.
Just my husband, and I thought that, I don't know, it might be something different to talk about, because I think getting back on track after vacation really is making a choice and a decision to get back to the four basics and just go. I mean, there's just not a whole lot to talk about there. I feel like you just got to do it.
Yeah.
And I think I'm getting there.
Okay.
But I think for me, I think I got, you know, in an argument with my husband yesterday. It's, you know, it's never about what you actually argue about, right? So it's like the argument is just what ends up happening because things get bottled up, et cetera.
Oh, sorry,
I dropped you. but I mean, long story short, I mean, we basically got in this stupid argument over the backyard. It's not even anything exciting, but we proceeded to just basically not talk the whole day, you know? And, you know, it's really hard for me because I'm a person who likes certainty and I like things resolved and I like things to be good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, today we kind of woke up and, you know, I think we're just kind of pretend normal is what I like to call it, where we're just getting through and talking about the things we need to talk about, but we're not talking about what happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a couple that does therapy once a month. So we know what we're supposed to be doing, but I think we also know that if either one of us is not ready, we shouldn't talk about it because it'll just turn into another argument. So we're trying to be careful about not having the discussion until, but I think the biggest thing is just the impact it has on my eating.
Okay.
And kind of how to manage around that. Yesterday I actually did pretty good because I'm upset, so I'm not hungry as much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I did at the end of the night, like he went to bed, my daughter went to bed, and I was all alone and relaxing. And then I found myself going to get an off-plan bowl of cereal and just eating it. So it was almost kind of like, okay, now I can take an exhale. Everybody's gone. I'm alone for the first time today. I'm gonna eat too. And I just don't want to continue that behavior.
No.
So any tips around that or any other thoughts on?
So going back to like what you said about you don't like things, you know, not resolved and things like that. So what does resolution look like to you?
I think it's him and I back to where we were before the argument. Mm-hmm. We're talking, it's playful, it's loving, it's back to what it was before we argued, right? Because when we argue, it's like there's a hard line and then both of us are hurt and both of us are just not engaging.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, I mean, you know, but that's your definition of resolution, right? I mean, you can have any definition that you want. You can have any idea of, I mean, but it sounds like, you know, you're kind of wanting something to happen that you know doesn't normally happen after a fight. I mean, there's just this period of time where
you're weird.
Yeah. I mean, well, but that's your thought, right? That it's weird.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not weird if it happens every single time you have a fight, you know, just it should be expected that this is the time that you all are kind of figuring things out on your own. It's the way it, you know, goes most of the time. So it's not weird.
Yeah.
And it's totally normal.
Right.
So, you know, it's really, again, all kind of how you want to think about it. Like, it's just, okay, this is what we do after we fight. And it'll eventually, you know, go back to the way it, you know, the way it always is. But this is still no excuse for me to eat, because it's not weird. It's always the way it goes. And, you know, you can always choose whether you eat or not. So it's really, I mean, really going to that place last night, what were you thinking that led you to eating?
I was thinking that I was still, I think everybody went to bed. I was alone. And then I had a lot of time to think about the day and how I was feeling about things. And in order to make myself, in my mind, quote unquote, feel better, I went to go eat. I kind of numbed myself with the food, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally, that's what, you know, that's buffering, right? That's what buffering is numbing. You know, you don't want to deal with whatever you're dealing with. So, you know, it's totally a normal, you know, a normal thing. I mean, just in terms of, you know, an urge and a response to that urge to buffer. So, so what could you do instead? Have you done a recovery worksheet? Have you kind of figured out what you want to do next time?
I haven't done my recovery worksheet yet for last night. That's next on my, I did journal this morning. I did like a TDL. I did have a question about the TDL. What's the difference between the intentional and unintentional on the TDL? Like, I get what you're supposed to do in each square, but what's the intentional and unintentional? What is that?
So you usually start with an unintentional if it's something like, so the unintentional is basically doesn't get you the result that you don't want. I mean, and so you kind of lived the unintentional model last night where it resulted in you overeating and, you know, and not feeling your feelings. And so that's the unintentional. And so the intentional is where you go through and think, okay, what could I think and feel differently that will get me to the result that I want? And so that's a good question for you right now. What, you know, if you could go back and do it again, or, you know, or just think about today, what result do you want from all of this? If the circumstance is the argument or the conversation, you know, it's very neutral. How do you, what result do you want from that? And remember, only you can be in that result line.
Yeah, it can't be something that involves him.
Right.
Okay. To go back and kind of, and I have to think about that. And I think what hurts too is like, he and I fight very differently. Like, he's a total guy who just explodes and he yells, and I'm very much like, don't yell at me. So it just turns into this whole mess, because then it becomes about that and the arguing versus what the actual issue is. So,
but again, you calling it a mess and you calling it, I mean, those are all thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you're saying things like they're just the facts, or like you're just, you know, reporting the news to me. And it's like, no, I mean, it sounds like this is just a very typical kind of argument that you all have. And it's not, I mean, and it's, so it's, it doesn't have to be a mess. You know, it can just be like, this is how he is. This is how I am. This is how it usually goes. And then in a day or two, it's over with.
So, and that's typically is. And I think it's hard too, because then you start to feel like really alone, like, oh my God. And my thoughts take me to the worst places. So it's like, oh, you know, maybe this is the end of our relationship. I mean, it's like all of these thoughts, right?
Right. And, well, but again, those are all thoughts that, you know, that are optional to you and that you want to write, you want to journal about and write about and say, okay, instead of thinking that, you know, this is the end of our relationship, what could I think instead? You know what? I mean, and is that really true? Or is that just my brain, you know, going to the worst case scenario? And that's not what's going to happen. This is how I want to think about it. We argue every once in a while.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a big deal. You know, couples argue, you know, come up with a thought like that, that it's just like, oh, this is just a time when we argue.
Yeah.
And you know, what could you think? What is something that you could kind of practice thinking?
You know, I think that logically, even as I said that, I know it's not true. Our arguments are few and far between. Luckily, I mean, I can think of our last big argument in April, you know, so it's been a long time. And it's just one of those things where I think both of us let our emotions get it. You know, I know I get, I let my stress kind of, I take it out on him a little bit and vice versa. So that's a bad thing. But what can I think about this?
Mm-hmm.
I think what you just said is probably 100% true, where it's like, this is what we do. We mm-hmm. argue. We need a couple days where things are like this, I don't know, recovery pattern, if you will. Like we're trying to recover. We're both trying to get back to where we were. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get over it. And then we know, like, you know, probably by end of day tomorrow, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's the reality. It's how we work. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we still have to resolve the issue in the backyard.
Right.
Dumb issue. But, you know, I think we both just fight for control, you know, mm-hmm. but I guess that's a kind of typical in a relationship.
Well, and, it, you know, you don't have to have control, right? I mean, you don't have to win the argument. I mean, you, right. it all comes from your thoughts. You can just decide that you were wrong and he was right. Even if, you know, I mean, you can just decide to think whatever you want. So it's just like, you know, even if, I don't know, you can just, you know, you can always say, okay, I was wrong. And, you know, we're going to just, you know, get through this. And this is just, you know, what we do every once in a while and
move on.
It doesn't have to be a big deal. I think that's kind of the bottom line.
It doesn't have to be big. And I think for me, I'm just like, oh, you need to grovel. You need to say, I'm sorry. You need to come to me like on your hands and knees. You know, it's like that control thing. And I think,
well, and that's your, you know, that's your manual for him in terms of, have you done the relationships course?
I am in the middle of it. It's funny. Okay. I was listening to the rest of it last night.
That's where we talk about the manual. So those are all the expectations that we have of people in our life. And so, and you know, what you're talking about is, you know, is an expectation like, you know, he should apologize. He should do all this. And it's like, no, he gets to make his own decisions just like you do. And so, and that's the only control anybody has, right, is of ourselves. And so, you know, if you're looking for control, look to yourself and just decide how you want to show up in the relationship and in the, you know, in the argument or in the conversation.
Okay. I think that's pretty fair. I think that means that I can find my way to have a good day today.
And yes. It's always up to you. It's never up to anybody else, that's you know?
Good. Awesome.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Okay. Talk to you later. All right. Bye. All right. Yeah, manuals are not helpful unless we give them a copy. Even if we give them a copy, think about if you got a copy of someone else's, you know, because other people have manuals of you too, right? What if you got a copy and you're like, wait a minute, you expect me to do this and this and this? No, you know, no one wants to have to meet all these expectations. Okay, Jennifer, I'm thinking that you are Jennifer who signed up.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, yes. You're very loud. Actually, I need to turn.
Sorry.
That's all right. Did you sign up for coaching?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Good. Okay. Yes. Great.
So, I had originally signed up, or I'm signed up to talk about how I can, especially at work when I'm extremely tired and working overnight, stop grabbing mindlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And, that idea came to me as I was eating mindlessly. And I know there are so many things that I want to be coached on, but I just feel like I get out of control. It's almost a feeling of, like, I don't know if it's urgency, but it's, or panic. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to eat these cookies, or I got to eat this. And, you know, and so, it just kind of overtakes me. And I will feel that way also, like coming home from work after working in overnight or whatever, even though I'll have my 24-hour plan made, and I'll be like, this sense of urgency just comes over me and I find myself eating, and especially eating things that aren't on my plan. So I just don't know how to get that out of my mind and retrain my brain from that.
Okay. Okay. So first off, I want you to quit saying that you're eating mindlessly, because you got all kinds of thoughts going. You just told me about all these, you're thinking that things are urgent and that you've got to eat. So it's not mindless, right? I mean, you've okay. got thoughts and feelings going on.
Right.
So it's, and also just saying that you're eating mindlessly, it really takes the control away from you. It's like something has taken over your body,
And that's how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. And so just even just saying that, just kind of reinforces that whole out of control-ness.
Right. So, okay.
So let's figure out, what's going on here, because you're always in control, right? The bottom right. line is that you're always in control, but things are probably just happening so quickly in terms of, you have a thought and then you feel things feel really urgent. And then you have, and this is an urge, right? This is just, you're responding to an urge. And so, so what is going on when you are at work or, when you feel this urgency, it may not even be conscious kind of what you're thinking, but
and that's kind of how I feel. Like, it's not anything conscious. I'm not sitting there thinking, I'm really hungry right now. I need to eat. It's more like, oh my gosh, it's 3 a.m. and I'm so exhausted and tired.
Okay.
And then I grab that and I eat.
So are you thinking I'm so tired and this will give me energy?
Sometimes, but sometimes it's just not even, I will find myself walking back to the break room at 3 a.m, even though I'm not hungry, and being like, oh, there's crackers here. I'm going to eat them. Or the girls had food night, so I'm going to eat this, And so,
it's probably nothing really earth shattering. It's probably just like, I'm too tired to even.
Yes.
Allow this urge or, sit with this urge. I'm just going to eat this. And there's other kind of thoughts going, like, maybe it'll give me a little bit of energy because I'm so tired anyway. It's just
right.
all these kind of, and so all of this whole process of having those thoughts, you get an urge to eat and then you respond. That's just all a habit, that you,
right.
that you just reinforced and responded to over and over again. So if you had to guess, what would you think is the solution to this whole deal?
Well, I'm sure it's to sit down and do a recovery worksheet right in the moment.
That'd be great. But the even easier answer is you don't eat when you want to, you don't reach for food because, the food, you are always making a choice to reach for this food and to put it in your mouth. It's not that anything is ever out of your control, but you have to kind of, and that's what the whole urges and buffering work from last month
right.
is about, where it's like, you've got to snap yourself into consciousness, because it's just this habit. And so when you talk about mindlessly doing something, it's like, it's just because it's so habitual and it's such a habit, you don't think you're thinking about doing
right.
it beforehand.
But that's kind of like throughout this whole, since I've joined, mm-hmm. That's really what it has been stifling my progress. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of mind work and continue to do that, but mm-hmm. This is really starting to screw with my mind. And so, mm-hmm. I'm seeing, the fat girl thinking coming back, or my old ideas of dieting, of counting calories and measuring and using the 21-day fixed containers and all that bull crap. And it's anxiety provoking for me. So I'm like, I have to get control over this, because if I don't,
Okay. So let's come up with a real specific situation, like something that maybe you're going to probably deal with in the next couple of days, either at work or when you come home. Let's just walk through that and how you can handle it differently.
Okay. Well, I'm not working overnights this week, so that's good. But my mom's been ill and she's been in the hospital, and we're kind of trying to decide on where is she going to be able to come back home? Are they going to have to sell their home? If they sell their home, they want me to buy the house, but my husband doesn't want to buy the house. And so these are things that are like kind of going on as I am talking. And I don't feel like I'm thinking about that all the time, but I'm sure it's driving some of my grabbing here and there.
Okay. So like what would you just give me an example? Like, let's say maybe you get off the phone with your mom or something. And is that a something that might happen or you?
No, not when I get off the phone with my mom, and I just, you know, just got off the phone with my dad just a couple minutes ago, and you know, I'm fine. It didn't leave me feeling like I need to go eat or whatever. But a lot of it is just, maybe certain times of day.
Okay.
Or, you know, like last night I went to a soccer game and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a bite of Lucy's hot dog because I'm at a soccer game. You know what I mean?
Okay. So what would it look like for you? Let's say you're at a soccer game and so, I mean, and that's your thought, right? Like I'm at a soccer game,
right?
You know, people eat hot dogs at soccer games. I want a hot dog or this looks good or I should get to have a hot dog. What is it going to look like for you to not have that hot dog because you want to lose weight instead?
I think it will be very, it would be uncomfortable for me to sit there because I'm so used to just satisfying myself. But I'm sure I would come out of that soccer game just fine.
You wouldn't be dead or pregnant.
I would not be dead or pregnant. So, and I know that kind of, and even after things happen, I'm like, God, why did I do that? I know I'm an educated woman and I know.
Well, but it's like, I mean, when you're in the moment with that discomfort, and that's kind of why I was asking you about all this, because it's like, I mean, let's get real about the way this is. I mean, it is not going to be comfortable, right? It is not
right.
Feel like ass right there in that moment. You want the hot dog and you're not going to have it. You know, it's just, but it is, you know, you want to have your compelling reasons in your mind, right? In terms
right.
of, you know, what do you want to practice saying? What do you want to practice doing? And again, this is not to keep it from feeling like ass and to keep, you know,
right.
the comfort from happening, but just what are you going to tell yourself?
So I need a self mantra, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, you need like a power thought, right?
And I feel like sometimes those power thoughts are really hard for me. I think I make things a little bit more difficult than they need to be as far as like my power thoughts and my question of the day and all okay. that kind of stuff.
Okay. So let's get something that's real simple. Like what is something that you think is too simple, but it probably is good enough.
I mean, is this going to get me to my goal?
Right. Something like that.
Sometimes I feel like I might need something more inspirational or, you know, like more, but maybe that's, I'm just creating that in my, you know.
Well, and it's probably coming from a place of, but it's still going to suck, you know, like, but I don't want it to suck. I don't want it to feel like ass. You know, maybe there's something else out there. Maybe there's another quote. Maybe there's another, you know, power thought. Maybe there's another question that will keep it from sucking. And no, you have to, you know, get through the suck.
Right.
It's just like, and I remember coaching somebody, I mean, it's been like a long time ago, but it was like, choose your crappy. Do you want the crappiness of, you know, overeating and not losing weight? Or do you want the crappiness of the discomfort in the moment?
Right.
But here's the thing. I mean, like you said, like you're educated, you're a, you know, grown woman or whatever. It's like the power of actually sitting with that discomfort and I mean it sometimes only takes one time for you to do that and come out the other side and know that you are okay. I mean, that you're literally not dead or pregnant.
Right.
Sometimes it just takes one time and you just realize that, oh my gosh, I can actually do this. You know, I actually sat with this discomfort and you may have done it before, you know, may have been a while. But it's like when you actually go through that and just realize that you are strong enough to do that, sometimes you don't even need a power thought in the moment because you know that you've done it before and you can do
right.
it. And so, but that first time is what, you know, what you got to get through.
Yeah. I think there's so, like, even though I've done so much thought work and have come a long way since joining in January and from when I first started listening to PNP, but it just makes me realize there's so much work to be done with the mind. Yeah. And sometimes I struggle with thinking that I have to have all these profound thoughts and whatever, but I don't.
And I think that, I mean, you know, and your thought, like there's so much work to be done sounds tiring. It sounds depressing, you know? And so it's like, it's true, right? But you can turn that around and think there's so much, you know, more work to be done. And that's a good thing, right?
Like, oh yeah. And I think, I mean,
growing and evolving and stuff.
I mean, it might take me 2 years to get to my goal weight, but as long as I'm working on my mind, I mean, I haven't lost a lot of weight, but I feel better as a person.
Yes.
And yes. As a mother.
And I will tell you, after you lose the weight, it doesn't end, you know, it doesn't, it's
right.
Just a new set of things to work on. And, you know, I mean, I was talking about my vacation and I mean, I overate a lot on my vacation. And so I'm now back here going, okay, you know, where, you know, what do I want to think about this? You know, how do I want to move forward? All that kind of stuff. And so it's just, but I think, I mean, it's a gift that we have all these tools that we can use.
Right.
And I'm getting right on with the gift of fat now, you know, July 7th, it's not too late. I'm getting on the,
right,
you know, on the train and I'm moving forward. So it's just like, it's a never ending, you know, journey of figuring all this out, but I still like decide that, you know, I'm glad I got the tools and I can keep working on it.
Right.
And, you know, it's never going to end, but I'm glad I'm good with that. You know, life would be pretty boring if it was.
right. We didn't have all this to keep us going.
There wasn't all this stuff to work on. So yeah,
right.
Like you can think of it any way you want to.
Right. Okay, well then I'm going to get my mantra and figure out a mantra here. And
well, okay, let's come up with something right now. Or at least something you can kind of start with.
Well, I think I just need to ask myself, is this getting me to my goal?
Uh-huh. Or, I mean,
helping,
you know,
me, or
have you done much work on your future self and like,
you know, I did in the beginning. I wrote out a letter and all that kind of stuff. And that's another thing I have a hard time, like going back and re-looking at things that I did and wrote. And with the gift of fat, I kind of wrote another letter, you know, of like what it would look like if this month were completely successful of, you know, completing all the challenges and everything. And I guess maybe I can do hard things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I am doing hard things.
You are doing hard things. I mean,
yeah.
But it's, I don't know. It's just like, even calling them hard, I mean, they don't have to be hard. You know, it's just like, I can do different things even. Because, I mean, you know, you're changing these habits, right?
So I can choose differently.
Yeah. Like, and that was actually one of my big power thoughts when I was losing weight. It's like, I'm just going to do something different this time. I'm just going to try something different.
I'm choosing differently. Yes. I think that's a good one.
So, yeah, it's like, because putting that hard in there, sometimes it's like your brain goes to hard and it starts looking for hard and how this is so hard.
Right.
It's like, no, I'm just going to, you know, I'm just doing something different.
I'm choosing different. I think that's my mantra. I'm choosing different.
Okay.
I'm not going to put the hard in there.
Right. And choosing really helps you remind you that you are in control, that you are always, you know,
right,
these choices yourself, you're not out, you know, ever out of control.
Right.
Definitely something that you can practice. I mean, that same mantra you can use when you're, you know, doing overnights and you go into the break room and
you're choosing differently.
Yeah. You're choosing differently. But I also definitely want you to go back and look at that future self letter and the, what you worked on for Gift of Fat and just, you know, like, okay, how do I want to feel at the end of the month?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
that's your future self.
Yeah.
And, you're choosing differently so that you can be this different person at the end of this month.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad I did this. I was nervous in the beginning, but it went really well. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, y'all. I've got a few more. I can do things. I like that. I've got a little bit more time. So Melissa, I'm going to bring you up. And maybe one more.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. How are you?
Great. This is my first coaching call and I'm a bit nervous. So I had on my goal for the month that I would join a coaching call because I signed up for Transformation Weekend and I didn't, I'm April baby.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to be, you know, experience at first without you know, trying to go through. So okay. I watch a lot of coaching calls and what I want to be coached on today is that I feel like I'm way into PMP, meaning that I'm very engaged, not like Facebook engaged, but engaged with the calls. I have a really great accountability group. We really talk about the content and about what's driving things, what's triggering things, what we're feeling. The podcast and, you know, just all of the deep thought work. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm just, or I shouldn't say sometimes, I think this week, I'm just feeling a little bit defeated. So it's like a little bit of a month of vacations for me. You know, you have this long stretch of 4th of July week with we had the kids here. And then I'm headed into a sailing trip on a catamaran where I'm not really in control of the food at all. So it's 7 days sailing in the middle of the ocean.
Okay, so first quit saying you're not in control of the food.
Okay.
Because you're always in control of what you put in your mouth.
You're right. So yes. I've just been bouncing around this couple pounds for the mm-hmm. last month. When I joined in April, you know, I just feel like I'm putting expectations on myself. Like I should have made more progress by now, commensurate to the effort I'm putting in. And I think that's where I'm getting choked up. And part of that might be because I feel like I'm putting in time and effort, but is it on the right things? You know, I've been in PMP 94 days and I have like 65 plans made. Mm-hmm. Of those number of plans, there's even less assessments. So is it even a valid feeling that I am all in when I haven't really been all in? I mean, if I was all in, I would be making plans pretty much every day or getting closer to that 100% plan, 100% assessment type of deal. And that's disappointing to me. But then on the flip side of it, I think, okay, this is a new habit for me. It's not something I'm used to doing. It's not something that comes natural to me because I, you know, start my day and I'm inundated at work. You know, typically I'm not a morning person, so I don't get up 2 hours ahead of time and plan, you know, my day and have this self time. It just doesn't work that way. I commute for an hour into DC mm-hmm. and it's hectic. I'm gone for 11 hours in my day. So when I get in the office, I'm inundated. I mean, really inundated, which is fine. And I usually try to make time to do my plan there. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Obviously it worked about 75% of the time because 65 out of 94 days is roughly mm-hmm. that much. But I don't know. I'm just feeling a little defeated.
So that you talked about you're disappointed, but then you just gave me all these other thoughts. How do those thoughts feel?
Which thoughts?
Like you're, this is new to you and you're, you know, you have all this.
It should come more easily at this point.
Okay. So you know, don't, like, so that doesn't feel good either. So none of those thoughts
right.
feel good. Okay.
Right.
So, and when we also can talk about your thoughts around work, because, you know, I'm inundated, it's hectic. Those are all thoughts
mm-hmm.
that you were just laying out as facts to me,
mm-hmm.
but those are all thoughts about your job. You know, I mean, 11 hours. I mean, I could give you that, you know, maybe you're gone from home for 11 hours, but you make that mean a lot of things. Right. And so, mm-hmm. but that's kind of a different thing. But let's just go back to these plans. So the number is the number, right? You've done 65 out of 94 days. Let's get that clear, you know, decided. How do you want to think about that right now, here, today? Because it's done, right? I mean, it's the past.
Right, right.
And you're wanting the past to be different. You're wanting the past to, you know, have given you a different result.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't, you know, it gave you what it gave you. You did what you did. How do you want to think about that now?
Well, I just think I have to, I've certainly made progress, so I need to take that progress and move forward.
Okay.
But I don't know.
So, I mean, that sounds a lot better than I should have done, you know, done more. I should have all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. I've made progress. It's progress. How does that feel? How's that thought feel?
It feels good, but I still expect more. That's my problem.
Yeah. You're still thinking it should be more, I should have lost more weight or whatever. So until you decide that you're going to think differently about the past, something that you cannot change ever, ever, ever. So you're just living in this place that, you know, that you're stuck. And it's certainly not going to help you move forward if you're still stuck in the past. So, I mean, I think 65 out of 93, I mean, that's a pretty darn good percentage. But, I mean, your brain wants to go to, well, it's not 100%. It's not perfect.
Well, and I hadn't assessed them. And, you know, so what a trap I fall into often is, you know, planning my plan in my head, and I actually stick to those. And so because that kind of works for me, I use that as an excuse. And when I say do my plan, like I really sit down and do my plan. I do my questions. I do my goal. I look at my schedule. I mean, I'm really trying to connect, well, what can be triggers? What can I, you know, really thinking through it.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, I just feel like, wow, I have put so much effort into P&P total. And I'm disappointed in myself. That's all.
You're disappointed in the result, or you're disappointed in the effort that you put in?
In the inconsistency with what I know would work. You know, I know that planning and assessing is the key to the weight loss piece. Mm-hmm. So I'm not discounting the progress I've made.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the thing that is, you know, what I'm most after, the weight loss, I have 100 pounds to lose, is what I know the planning and assessing. So that's, you know, the hard part. So, and I think that hard part leads to me, you know, not getting what I want, right? So if I plan and I don't follow the plan, then I'm not, you know, getting whatever it is that I'm trying to get, whatever food I'm trying to get. So I can do all the rest of the stuff. Just not, this is what I feel like I'm bucking, right?
Okay,
like,
so from here on out, plan and assess. Every day.
And that's what I tell myself all the time, but it just doesn't work. I mean, I don't always do it. So that's where I'm stuck. So
you just got to do better than, I mean, I was just about to do a little calculation here. You said 65 out of what? 90?
65, 94.
Okay. That's 69%. 69% of the days you at least planned. So get your tracker out if you haven't already for this, you know, for July, and and work on getting to 70% or 75%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just work on improving a little bit.
Okay.
What are you thinking? You're not that.
I'm worried about the trip, and I'm worried about the month, really.
Okay, so let's work on the month in terms of what you need to decide on. I mean, you plan and assess every day while you're on vacation.
Okay.
What questions do you have about that?
I don't. It's straightforward and simple. I just.
Okay. Why are you crying?
Sure.
I want you to prove to yourself that you can do this. If you're tired of being disappointed and feeling defeated, then start doing some stuff that will create a different feeling for you. Right? I know you can do it. You've done it for 69% of the time. So it's just a matter of deciding to do it, and then decide at the end that no matter what happens, that you're going to feel accomplished, because accomplished comes from your thoughts.
I think I have really good weeks and I see the scale move and then it doesn't hurt, goes up. And that's, you know, so for me, the food isn't the issue, it's the desserts that are the issue. Okay. So I don't actually crave, I really like health. I really like food that nourishes me completely. I really love all the things in the world that are good for you, but I really love all the desserts and cookies and cakes and all of the sugar. So for me, it's easy to not, stay away. It's easier the more I stay away from it. And then I think, well, can I live my entire life without, you know, any of these things? And it just keeps tripping me up. So I'll have a couple of really good weeks and then I'll have, you know, one bad week or even three bad days that sets me back for the whole 3 weeks.
But the problem is that you're calling your choices either good or bad because of the result that they get you. They're not good or bad. Your choices are just choices. They're totally neutral. And you're judging your choices when you just made choices. Like for the last week while I was on vacation, I made a bunch of choices. You know, it's just like, that's where you got to start, is to not judge yourself for just making choices. I mean, the food, there's no good foods or bad foods. Do you believe me on that?
I do. Okay.
So, and I bet when you go on vacation, you're going to want to have a few desserts, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the situation is on the boat, if that's really what's happening, but.
Okay. And you'll find out, you'll figure out what's going on there. And then you make a plan for every day in terms of, and it doesn't have to have specific foods on it. It can have, I'm going to eat breakfast 2+2. I'm going to eat lunch 2+2. I'm going to eat dinner 2+2. And if there's a dessert I want, I'm going to have that dessert. Or in the next day, maybe you don't plan a dessert. But that's how simple your plan can be. Because many of you guys complicate it and like, oh, I don't know what they're going to have. And it's like, it can literally be that simple. All meals 2+2 and a dessert if something looks good that night.
I think I don't believe that I can eat the mixture of healthy foods and dessert type foods and still lose weight. Because my data that I have on my plans show that as soon as I do, even at a 2+, you know, I still don't lose weight.
Are you looking at like weeks and weeks of data or like 2 or 3 days?
No, I'm going back on my plan, like all my plans since April.
Okay. Then so then maybe your 2+ is not, maybe you need to leave a few bites behind for your 2+. Maybe your 2+ is more like your 3+. I mean, it's just a matter of just kind of playing around with it and not just deciding that this doesn't work for me or this, you know, I can't figure this out. It just takes some trial and error, some just playing around with it. But if you're not losing weight, then go back and look at your plans. But I mean, how have you lost weight? How much weight have you lost?
About 5 pounds.
Okay. So you've lost weight. This does work for you, but it's a matter of going back and looking and seeing over several weeks at least what actually worked for you and then continuing to do that long term.
Mm-hmm. And I think getting a handle on the urges, that would help.
Yeah, that too.
So that's a big part of the problem.
But it's just all a kind of a journey of just mistakes and figuring it out and tracking and looking back and seeing what worked and what didn't work. But we see it all over the place, people losing weight, you know, left and right. We know that this works. We just have to figure out how it works best for us, you know, consistently long term. And so, but if you're having overeats, if you're, you know, eating past 2+ a little bit here and there, then yeah, your weight's probably just going to stay around the same. It's So it's a matter of tweaking, you know, a few things here and there to figure out what will work long term and then being consistent with it. And that means very few overeats and working on your urges and not responding to your urges.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you later. Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Angie. A lot of times, let's see. A lot of times it's not what foods we're eating that, I mean, people can lose, I mean, people can lose weight not really changing what they're eating as versus changing the amount that they're eating. You really don't have to change a whole lot if you just follow your hunger scale and eat less, you know, and eat just according to your hunger scale, you're probably going to lose a lot of weight. I lost 50 pounds just following my hunger scale and, you know, making a few changes here and there in terms of, you know, healthier options, but it's, you know, more about the amount for sure. Because, you know, we don't have, you got to eat this specific thing, you know, as part of the four basics. The four basics are water, sleep, hunger scale, and making a plan. We don't ever tell you exactly what to eat because it's got to be realistic for you and be sustainable and able to, you know, for you to be able to live that way. So, yes. And I mean, a lot of times, I don't know what the name is, but it's just a matter of one or two bites can be the difference between staying the same with your weight and losing weight. A lot of times you're just eating to maintain your weight. And if you just cut back one or two bites at each meal, if you think about how much that adds up. Sometimes you'll see in Facebook, people will keep track of just like the bites that they leave behind. And if you look at all the pictures and you think about all the food that you don't think that that's very much. And then when you look at all that food adds up, when it's just one or two bites a meal, that is the difference between staying the same and losing. So absolutely. That's almost, it's like the hunger scale is key and also planning, right? Also making those decisions ahead of time. But get your hunger scale dialed in before you change any food majorly. I mean, that can just be, you can be losing weight left and right just following your hunger scale before you ever change the types of foods. Is it okay to eat only one meal a day? Yes, as long as you're following the hunger scale, one meal a day is fine. We have a lot of folks here who just eat one meal a day. So, okay, Judith, I'm going to get you on here, and you're probably going to be the last one.
Hey. Okay. Hello, how are you? I look oh so...
Oh.
Didn't really plan on this, but I have been working with my accountability group today, mm-hmm. And my sweetheart on some thoughts, really not related to food. This is a lot of mental stuff. My workload is changing in the current school year. I'm a speech therapist in the public schools. Really love what I do. The past year, I've been working in what we call the pre-K assessment office, doing assessments. And while the number doesn't sound like a lot, I did 115 to 120 evaluations in a school year. A typical therapist, if they were in the school, would do about 30 to 40. So I was doing a lot. Okay. Well, and that's what I love to do. And then I was one day in a middle school. Okay, fine. Last week, I found out that my workload is changing, that my supervisor is reducing my days in the PK assessment office to 3 days a week. It's being reduced to 3 from 4, and I'm being sent back to my middle school, which I requested, along with a high school. All right. Now, there's a big difference between high school and preschool. That's really not the issue. Where I'm coming from is I am one of the highest paid, in a typical caseload in a public school that I work for, They try to keep us at about 60. I'm one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid, speech therapist in my county. It is because I have a PhD and I have 34 and a half years experience. And that's just kind of how it flows out. Like I said, therapists are pretty much told caseload should be at about 60. With this change in my position, my caseload, if we were looking at typical numbers, would be at about 27. So my model on all of this, and my partners, my Marco Polo partners, have made me come through and really think of the thoughts and the feelings, okay? So it is coming down to the thought that hurts the most is that the change is an insult to me. And I feel this is my unintentional model. I feel insulted, hurt, and pissed. And the action is that I would still be working to my personal standard, but from an angry place. And that's not where I want to be. And the result would be I serve students, but my personal work satisfaction is reduced. The intentional model that I have worked over for the last 2 hours is that the work assignment's been changed. My supervisor, the thought is my supervisor sees a bigger picture than I can see. My feeling is ambivalent. My action is I will continue to work to my personal standard from a point of emotional neutrality. And the result is I serve students and I give them my best because that's how I roll.
I want to get you. I want to get you out of emotional. Who wants to be emotional and emotional neutrality?
I really want to be there, but I don't want to be pissed either.
Okay, but let's go back. We got to go back to the unintentional model first, though.
Okay.
You said it's an insult. I want you to ask yourself why it's an insult. What do you make this change mean about you as a therapist, you know, a speech therapist with a PhD, with all of this stuff, and it's not a pay cut, right?
No.
Okay. So what do you make this mean about you? Why is it an insult?
Because I think I'm being asked to work at a lower level than I know I can. I'm being asked to work less.
I mean, like, hello. And get paid and the same amount of money.
And I know that's the whole thing. I'm like, okay, it's not going to affect my bottom line at all. In actuality, working less is a good thing. Lots of people want to work less and make more money. Mm-hmm. I'm working less and making more money than everybody else I work with. So how do I bring that to a good place? Because it doesn't feel good.
Here is the good news. You can come up with any story you want about this, right? I mean, you can come up with anything. I mean, just, you know, get creative here and just decide, I mean, what you want to think about it. Like, oh, I must be so freaking good that they want me to spend more time on less students. And healthy students, it's like all this kind of stuff, right?
Okay.
And, I mean, you know, your mind immediately goes to, oh, must be something bad about me. And it's like, no. I mean, you could ask the person that made the decision and see what they say, but still, that doesn't even matter. You get to decide because it's all about the result. I mean, I like your result, right, in the intentional model.
Right.
But I want it to be way better than neutral, you know? I mean, I want you to be, I mean, because that result, what was the result again in your intentional?
The intentional model is that I serve students and I give them my best because that's how I roll.
Okay.
I mean, so every student I work with is going to get the best.
Okay. And you don't want that coming from a place of neutrality. You want that coming from a place of, you know, confidence and, you know, love for your students and, you know, love for yourself. And you know that you're a badass, you know, therapist and all that kind of, I mean, it's like,
okay.
So, I mean, you know, that can be a, you know, intermediate model on your way to, you know, a model of like, okay, I can make this make whatever I want. And this is how I roll. This is how I'm going to roll with this.
All right. So I can get it to be that I'm giving every, so my action can be I'm giving every student the best that they can have, the best that I can offer.
Yes, but that needs to come from a thought and a feeling.
Okay.
That is about you as a as a therapist. And, you know, how you want to feel about yourself. So what could that look
okay,
like?
Okay, so the thought could be then that I will have time to, I'll have the time to invest in looking for new therapy models or new therapy mm-hmm, strategies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can come up with all that stuff.
Kids have been in therapy since they were 3 and they're now in grade 11. You know, so I can investigate. Okay. So the thought can be, I will have the time to research and investigate other
and
strategies.
those are more like actions. Like you'll research, okay. You know, all this stuff, but I want you to go back to, you talked about, this is how I roll. Like, and I want you to really ask yourself, okay, how do I roll? Let's get specific here. That how do I roll as, you know, Dr. Judith, the badass speech therapist, how do I want to show up for these kids? That is what's in your thought line.
Okay. So the thought line would be that I can, I am the therapist that can do the best by them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then, you know, and you can say something about time. Like this gives me more time to, you know, to do the best I can with my students or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you said, this is how I roll. And it's like, but you want to, you know, get specific on that. And, you know, and that, or it could just be like, I mean, I guess it could just be, you know, this is how I roll. Like I roll with the changes, whatever they are. And my students, you know, my students are going to come first, just like they always do. And, you know, this is how I roll. So how does all that feel?
Okay. That feels better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have struggled with this since about, well, I found out a week ago. I really started doing the journaling this morning after all the thoughts swirling through head for about 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. So I've been working at this since about 9 o'clock this morning.
Well, you made some progress for sure.
Yes.
But Corinne told us a while back, she's like, I don't want to hear neutral. I don't want to hear neutral because I mean, you know, and again, that can kind of be like an intermediate feeling, but it's like, you want to get to neutral and then you want to get to something, you know, beyond that.
Yeah. No, I want to be excited about change. So, okay.
And so you can just ask yourself like, okay, how can I feel excited? You know, how can I feel excited about this? Like, just kind of ask yourself that, like, that can be a question for the day and that'll, you know, it's not like you have to ask yourself that, like while you're journaling and answer it immediately, just get your brain working on that throughout the day. Right. Like, how can I feel excited about this new decision, this new, you know, this news that I just got. And somebody said, I'd be thinking this is a reward for my years of experience and dedicated work. I can do really, really great work with a lighter workload. It's just like, you know, it's all up to you. It doesn't have to be based on any facts or anything else, right? It's just like, you get to decide how you want to show up with this change, with this decision.
Okay. All right. Okay. I can do that. Not on the plus side, on the other plus side, I have not eaten the emotions. So that's
good. Good. Because that's not how you roll, right?
That's how I roll. That is actually how I roll now.
So. That's how you roll is to not eat over this. Yes.
That's right. All right.
Awesome. Thanks. Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I saw one more question here from Celeste, and then we'll get out of here. I'm trying to develop a protocol, and I feel like I need to make a protocol for my girlfriend get-togethers. Corinne said if friends are always calling to get together, then it's not a surprise. That seems to be a big place where I keep not doing well. Okay. So, yeah, you can make – this is the whole thing about protocols, y'all. You can make a protocol for vacation. You can make a protocol for girlfriend get-togethers. You can make a protocol when you go out to eat here or there. You know, a protocol is totally up to you in terms of what you want to include on it. And if you have like specific situations where you need a more kind of specific protocol, then go for it. So Celeste, for you, I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, I don't know what's involved with the get-togethers, but you just can decide, okay, I'm going to have, you know, definitely for anything, it's going to be a plan, right? You're going to have a plan. And so it could be like, I'm always going to have this certain number of drinks. I'm always going to have this certain, well, Celeste, your hand is up. Let's just get you on here real quick. And we'll figure this out. Hey.
Hi. Oh.
Was that your question about the get-togethers?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about what happens at these things.
So every weekend they want to get together. And this is my tribe, my support system. Okay. They're all moms with kids that have moved out. But when they get together, you know, they love to drink a ton of wine, and I don't need to drink that. That's not a challenge. And I decided for the month of July that I wouldn't drink just so I could try and get a handle on this. But if we go to a restaurant, then lots of times we'll all get appetizers, and I might go there at a -2 when I try and be real intentional if I know we're getting together to be hungry when I get mm-hmm. there. But then in the midst of it, I end up overeating, and I, you know, or I picking up snacks, you know, grabbing at stuff and doing what everybody else is doing. And then I get home and I'm doing my assessment, and I'm like, ugh.
Okay. So what could a protocol look like for this?
Well, when I started working on a protocol, the first thing I wrote was, because it was the easiest, was not drink for the month.
Okay. And is that realistic for you? Is that something that...
I normally will only have one drink when we all get together.
Okay.
So that's not a big deal for me.
Okay.
But something that I can do, but because sometimes I would drink and sometimes I wouldn't.
Okay.
For eating, I put, okay, I'll drink water, tea, coffee, sparkling, whatever, instead of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be at a -2 before I show up. And then as far as I've gotten is appetizers. I'll get a small plate, fill it and eat it, and wait 5 to 10 minutes before refilling it.
Okay.
That's what I have so far.
Okay. Yeah. And actually somebody had referred to me talking about, like, I guess I kind of have a little, it's not really written down in my protocol. I probably need to write it down. But like when I go to a party or like a baby shower or something like that, I mean, I have a protocol where it's like I make one plate of food. And I mean, this is a little bit different than what you're talking about, because at a restaurant, but it can, you know, it's similar, where it's like you just decide, like, I mean, I was thinking for you, it could be, you know, you have one plate, you know, and you just decide you're going to put everything on that plate that you want, and then you're done. Or, you know, do y'all end up like eating a meal after that?
No, we'll get together for drinks. They'll want to meet at a bar or something. Mm-hmm. We'll order things and then we'll all go home. And
okay.
Or we get together for like The Voice and we all bring appetizers or we make a meal together.
Okay. Yeah. So it's something like you want to have, you know, all the decisions made ahead of time. So if it was something like that for me, I'd be like, okay, it's going to be one plate. And, you know, I can pile up that plate if I want to, but it's just going to be one plate of food and then I'm done. So, and that just keeps it real simple and real, because you were saying, well, you know, after you're done with that plate, then what, you know, and that kind of leaves it open for, you know, you could have a second plate if you want that as part of your protocol, you know, I mean,
right.
So, but it's just, you want it to be as simple as possible and not have any iffiness in terms of, you know, well, like, well, I could have this and that'd be technically be part of, you know, our protocol. So what do you think would make it just as simple and as clear as possible?
Well, I think that one plate, I can see what you mean by waiting, you know, having a plate and waiting, then I could easily squeak by with, well, I'm not maybe at a +2.
I mean, really? I mean, just like a protocol kind of rule in general, it's like you want to ask yourself, okay, is there a way I could justify doing something? Is there a way I could easily justify going off of this or doing something different? That's a really good question to ask yourself just with any kind of protocol, right? Where it's just,
right.
I mean, you know, and you want to get, you want to, you know, do a journaling on that ahead of time. Like, what are the justifications I've done in the past? What other justifications could I make? And just get all that, you know, out beforehand. Because, you know, our brains are very creative when we, when it's trying to justify something. So if it, it can just be like one plate and that's it, then that, I mean, that's what works for me, like at these, you know, parties and stuff, where it's just like, I mean, one plate is one plate. Like I said, I can load it down if I want to.
So does it matter if that plate is like a small appetizer plate or a regular plate?
That's kind of where some iffiness can come in. So you got to decide on that. I mean, you could, you know, you can say it's a small plate. You can, you know, say you're going to ask for a bigger plate, you know, at the restaurant. What's it going to be?
Right. Okay.
No, I mean, what really, what's it going to be? I'm asking.
And my want to brain is like, well, you could have two small plates or one big plate, but, I'm not sure that it really resonates that the leaving it open to interpretation of what that second plate is. And so
you don't want anything left open, you know, to interpretation. So,
no matter what size is probably.
Yeah. And here's the thing too, like,
I die if I don't have a second plate.
But, you know, and you can also just kind of think back, you can think back on experiences, or you can, you know, I mean, all of this is probably not going to go perfectly, right? And so you can learn from future experiences too, like, oh, well, I had this justification. I mean, so it's going to be an ongoing process, but just kind of go in, you know, for the next time saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to commit to. I'm going to listen to my brain and listen to the justifications it's going to make. And then I'll adjust my protocol, you know, accordingly.
Right.
So, you know, you may not, you know, you may need to adjust it as you move forward. And, you know, you may have overeats and it's like, okay, this is, I learned from this. And, you know, every overeat can be a really good learning experience. And so, but you don't want to go in saying, well, I might overeat just so I can learn from the experience. No. And again, that's your brain.
Say the other day, you will not overeat just knowing that you're just going to go fill out a recovery worksheet. And I was like, okay, I got to quit doing that.
That's what I'm talking about here. Right. And so, I mean, but it's crazy how our brain justifies, like, now we're using these recovery worksheets as justifications, right? And it's like, no. I mean, Corinne, I mean, just think of her saying, you know, I don't want y'all like bastardizing these worksheets I'm creating, you know, it's like, that's not what they're there for. And so, yeah, so, but you know, you want to just, you know, learn and move forward and adjust and all that kind of stuff. So just decide on something and then commit to it and then see how it goes.
I've learned so much through this program about myself. I mean, the manuals, holy cow, that was like a revelation.
That's a big one.
For the using food as being a reason to sit at 8 o'clock at night as an excuse to relax instead of just relaxing, but using it like my thoughts are, if I am not doing something, then I'm being lazy or I'm not good enough.
Right. I mean, that's all that. It's like when you really address why you're overeating, that's when you really get to what's really going on, you know.
And I've been able to change habits like, okay, I will no longer eat in front of the TV.
Right.
I will, you know, and I've actually just been avoiding the TV and I've been able to change a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, this girlfriend get together thing.
This is just the next thing for you to work on. And like, you know, you kind of have that, like I have something like I don't eat in the car, right? I mean, you kind of have these absolute things. And so kind of come at it from that way, like, okay, how can I make this like as absolute as possible with this protocol? And, you know, and then, you know, commit to it. See how it goes.
Yeah, I started out using it as exceptions, but then I started noticing that, oh, I'm not losing weight on that.
Well, the other thing is, and this is something I really worked on with like, you know, parties and dinners out with friends. It's like really doing some journaling and some thinking about what is really the purpose of this? You know, what is the real purpose of these events? it's, I mean, for you, it's probably to connect with these other women, right? And like, you know, like, okay, you know, what does connection look like? Why do I want to connect with them? What is really important? How do I want to feel when I'm leaving the event? You know, you want to feel connected. You maybe want to feel love, you know, you're hugging each other and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, if it wasn't about the food and the drink, you know, what is it really about? And so doing some thinking and some writing about that too.
All right. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. Because when you really step back and you just kind of take the food out of the equation, it's like, why do we all go out to dinner together? Why do we go to these part, like these July 4th barbecues? Right. It's like the food has become such the focus, but when you're able to kind of clear that away and say, okay, like just what if there wasn't food there? What would we be doing? You know? And so it's just kind of really just thinking about that kind of stuff. It's real interesting to think about that.
I'm really glad I got on this call because I like, it's going to take me forever to figure this out. But this makes me feel like I'm much.
Well, the other thing is like, you know, it's, you just decide on something and then it's not set in stone forever, right? You decide on something and then if it doesn't work or if it, you end up overeating or whatever, then you just adjust.
Right.
And, you know, it's a lot of, you know, our brain just goes to, oh, well, we have to decide on something and it has to work and it has to be perfect. And it's just not true. So,
right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Talk to you later. Okay. Bye. All right. Okay, y'all. I'm going to get out of here. And I will be back. This is a scheduling update. It's all correct on the calendar. It's correct in the Massive Action line. It's correct everywhere, but, we did have to make a couple of adjustments, but tomorrow night on Monday at 6:00, I will be doing office hours. You know, normally, we have those on Tuesday night, but since Corinne is traveling, I'm doing office hours tomorrow night at 6:00. And then she is doing the Zoom for the Gift of Fat Tuesday at 6 p.m. So they're both at 6 p.m. Central, but I'm doing office hours tomorrow night. And then Corinne is doing the Gift of Fat Zoom, weekly Zoom on 6 p.m. Tuesday. So that is going on this week, along with all of our other lives and calls and stuff like that. So, so if anyone wants to get coached tomorrow evening with me, I'll be back on at 6 p.m. Central. So I will see you all then. And y'all have a great rest of your Sunday. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.